And then in addition to contemplating the disadvantages of self-centeredness, we also contemplate the advantages of cherishing others. And this is a really nice kind of meditation to do, just to really sit down and think about all the advantages of cherishing others. So I'll list a few, but when you meditate, you can make up some more and, you know, do some research. And so the basic thing is, when we take care of others, when we cherish them, they're happy. Yeah. And I mean, that's a really nice thing, because if we take care of others and they're happy, it's wonderful that other beings are happy. And we know what it's like when other people care for us and do nice things for us. And so that very same kind of warm or singing feeling in your heart that we get when other people are kind to us, that's the same kind of thing we can generate in other people by cherishing them and taking care of them. And then also, you know, when other people are happy, it just creates a more harmonious environment, which, you know, indirectly does benefit us. And so this whole thing of creating world peace, you know, world peace doesn't come about through legislation, and it doesn't come about through UN peacekeeping forces or through the Owens Packard, you know. That's not how real peace comes about, but rather through the attitude that cherishes others and values them and wants, you know, wishes them well and wishes good things for them. And so that's the way to promote world peace. And so if we don't have that kind of attitude, then even we do legislation, the legislation won't work. Yeah, because legislation only works when there's that attitude that really wants to respect others and take care of others. Yeah? So we shouldn't see world peace as something that we're helpless against. You know, very often nowadays people just feel helpless and hopeless and confronted the situation of the world. But if we really see that we contribute quite directly to world peace by being peaceful ourselves and by being kind to other people ourselves, then there's definitely something we can do towards world peace. And it's contagious. Yeah? Because you just think, you know, if you develop an attitude of kindness, then that means everybody in your whole family can relax. You know, and at least they'll be secure that you won't harm them. And they'll also, you know, receive much happiness. And that also means everybody that you work with, no, won't be harmed and will receive happiness. And everybody you come to Dharma class with won't be harmed and will receive happiness. So it has quite a wide-spreading effect. When you think of how many people we're in relationship with, even on a daily basis, if we develop that thought or that heart that cherishes others, then it very directly affects a great number of people, you know, not only in making them happy, but also in preventing harm. You know, and when you see the harm that one person can do motivated by the self-cherishing thought, then it's actually quite, you know, when we're able to do this transformation, we see that it's quite remarkable. You know, because you look at one person like Mao Zedong or Adolf Hitler, and, you know, what did they do? One person, you know, the virtue... Not, I can't say by the virtue of one person's self-cherishing thought, by the non-virtue of one person's self-cherishing thought. Look what happened to so many people. You know, forget about them receiving help, they received harm. Yeah. So just one person, one, you know, like one of us, changing that attitude, it has really, really far-reaching effects. Yeah. And if we have this attitude that really cherishes and respects and cares about others, then we're going to be able to be happy wherever we are and whomever we're with. Because we'll have this real positive attitude, so that when we walk in a room full of people, you know, already the mind is predisposed towards friendliness. You know, and you can really see that, you know, when you walk in a room with strangers, when you're in a bad mood, the mind just wants to, And when, if you walk in that room and your mind has an open heart and a kind attitude, then it's like, wow, everybody just seems really nice and wonderful. Yeah. So by the virtue of this thought that cherishes others, then we can be happy no matter who we're with and no matter what's going on. You know, and we can, you know, enjoy being with the people we're with, enjoy interrelating, enjoy serving them. Okay? Because we cherish others, you know, when we cherish others, then, you know, we create a lot of very good karma because we act positively, we act constructively. And so this good karma, to have the seeds of the Dharma germinate in the field of our mind, we need the water and fertilizer in the field, and that's what this good karma is, this positive potential. So when we act kindly towards others, we enrich our own mind stream, and then that means that when we meditate, it's easier to get understanding from the teachings. Or when we listen to teachings, it's easier to hear them, it's easier to put things into practice. So this collection of positive potential is really very important. And when we have a kind heart, then automatically we do many actions with that. Okay? And also when we have a kind heart, even we do simple things, it becomes very, very rich. You know, I mean, even if you have, so we were talking before about the benefits of bodhicitta, and even if you offer an apple to the Buddha, you know, and you put it on the shrine, by the force of your bodhicitta, you know, wishing to become enlightened for the benefit of everybody, it creates a huge amount of positive potential that helps you to purify your mind and create suitable conditions to gain the Dharma understandings and realizations. Yeah? So, you know, if we want to develop our mind, we want to be able to meditate better and gain some experience, then this creation of positive potential is quite important. And cherishing others is one excellent way to do that. We can see, I should make clear here that when we talk about cherishing others, it's not done out of guilt and obligation. It's done out of a real respect and care and affection for them. Okay? So helping others because we feel guilty, because we feel obliged, because we feel that they're going to criticize us if we don't, or we worry about what other people are going to think about us if we don't, or we, you know, something like that, that's not helping others. That's not cherishing others. Because that heart isn't thinking about others, it's thinking about ourselves. Okay, so we have to be real clear here. Cherishing others doesn't mean running around and doing goody-two-shoes actions with an ungoody-two-shoes mind. Okay, with a mind of guilt or obligation. You know, that isn't cherishing others. But rather this real transformation, really looking at others as beautiful, as worthy of respect and love. And this is developed through seeing their kindness to us, which we discussed the last few talks. Okay. Also, we, you know, by cherishing others, we receive a precious human life which enables us to continue our Dharma practice. Okay. Now, why? Because when we cherish others, then we cease harming them. When we cease harming them, then we don't create the negative karma that gives us unhappy rebirths. Okay? When we cherish others, we treat them kindly, we create the kind of good karma that gives us the ability to take a precious human life and continue our Dharma practice for many, many future lives. Okay? So cherishing others also has, we get benefit ourselves from it. Okay? And if you look, for example, long life is something that we all want, that we all desire. The way to have long life is by cherishing other people's lives and protecting their lives, not killing them, and if they're in danger, protecting them. Okay? So the way for us to have long life, karmically, is to save others' lives and desist from harming them. So, to cherish others. The way for us to have security in terms of our possessions and not worrying about our house getting broken into or, you know, something like that. The way to have security just in terms of you know, having the wherewithal we need to live. Okay? That's done by being generous to others and by not destroying their property. Okay? So, cherishing them. Yeah, if we cherish others, we don't steal from them. We don't covet their things. We don't cheat them out of stuff. And so then we don't create the karma to lose our things. And if we cherish others, then we're generous to them. And by being generous, we receive, you know, the things that we need to live. And so the reason that we're able, you know, and we have an extraordinary amount of leisure here in the States to come to Dharma teachings. You know, I mean, it's really remarkable. Nobody here's starving. Nobody here's living on the streets. They're easy for us to, you know, jump in a car, jump on a bicycle. We have bicycles and cars, you know, to come to Dharma teachings. And so, you know, just having that wealth that enables us to practice the Dharma is a result of having been generous in previous lives, and that's a result of cherishing others. When we have harmonious relationships with people, okay, you know, this is, again, something that we all want, is harmonious relationships. So that comes from respecting other people, cherishing them, and taking care of them. So if we don't do that, you know, then we have unwise sexual behavior. You know, we hurt other people through having extraneous relationships. Or we hurt people by lying, by slandering, by harsh speech and abusing and ridiculing them. Whereas if we cherish them, then we stop those actions. So we stop the cause, you know, for us to have difficulties in all of our relationships with other people. And in addition, with a heart that cherishes others, we're kind to other people. And karmically, that creates the cause for other people to like us and be kind to us and, you know, to be generous and friendly and responsive, and for us to be able to have stable friendships with, you know, that don't go up and down like yo-yos all the time, and to be able to have long-lasting friendships. So when you just even look at the kinds of things that we want to have just for happiness this life, and the kinds of circumstances in our life that we want to have so that we can practice the Dharma well, all of these things come from cherishing others. Yeah. When we think of all the spiritual realizations, which will completely free our mind from all suffering and its causes whatsoever, this also comes through cherishing others. So there's only good to be gained by being kind to others. You know, there's no negative things that can happen to us. And so this is really something to think very, very deeply about, really go over this again and again in our mind and really contemplate karmically how this works. Because so often in our life, our old thought pattern is, if I give, I won't have. Yeah? If I'm kind to somebody, they're going to take advantage. If I volunteer, they're going to ask for more. You know? If I let something go, they're going to trample all over me. And so that's our usual way of thinking. Yeah? So again, I'm not advocating becoming a doormat. Okay? But if we do have a heart that genuinely cares about others, then there's no way other people can take advantage of us. Okay? Because if you look at it, if you look in your own mind, what do we mean when somebody has taken advantage of us? You know, it basically means that, you know, that somebody else, that we haven't been able to be real clear with other people, and we've said yes when we mean no. So I think a lot of times we feel taken advantage of because of our own lack of clarity. Okay, this is something maybe think about and see if this is making sense to you. You know, I feel taken advantage of because somebody said this, and I didn't really want to do it, and I didn't really want to go along, but I felt guilty, and I felt obliged, and I wasn't very clear, and so I said yes. And that the whole time I said yes, I was really feeling a lot of resentment. And so I blame it on them that they took advantage of me. Yeah? So being taken advantage of has a lot to do with that kind, at least I find with me, that kind of psychological mechanism. Whereas when we have a heart that really cherishes others, then somebody comes and wants something and our heart is happy and we give. And even they ask for something outlandish, if our heart is happy and we give, other people may say they're taking advantage of us, but from our side, we don't see it that way. Because from our side, we're just happy to give. Okay? So you hear all these stories in the scriptures, I mean, these really outrageous stories of, you know, people giving parts of their body away. Yeah? Or things like that. And we look at them like, well, I don't know who in my right mind would do that. You know? But, or the stories in the scriptures of people coming and just asking outlandish, outrageous things of other people. But the bodhisattvas from their side, they feel, well, why not give it to them? You know? And the mind is happy. Yeah. So I'm not saying that we should give everybody everything they ask for, because sometimes people ask for things that harm them. Yeah, so we shouldn't give people things that harm them. But, you know, we really need to look real carefully at what's going on when we say being taken advantage of, and what's happening there. Yeah. Because, you know, in one way, I mean, like, you look at Lama Zopa, you know, he doesn't sleep and people come and talk to him and they'll stay in his room until 3 a.m. or 4 a.m. and, you know, or whatever. And on one hand, you can look and you say, look, all these people, they're just taking advantage of him, you know. But from his side, he's just completely happy to give. He doesn't see it as, oh, look at all these people, they're making me stay up so late, I really don't want to do it. They're taking advantage of me, but I have to do it. You know, this is part of the job description of being a Rinpoche. You know? You know? That's not what he's thinking. Okay? So from his side, you know, there's just happiness to do these things. Yeah? And so, you know, we can see that with a change in our mind, then many things that just, you know, seemed like, oh, I can't do that, or I don't want to do that, or I don't have enough energy. You know, a slight change of the mind, and then it becomes something that actually is completely okay to do. You know, we're happy to do. And we don't see it as being taken advantage of. Yeah, so somebody calls you and they need a ride somewhere, they need you to do a favor. And then if the mind is saying, oh yeah, sure, yeah, you need some help, yeah, I'll be right over. You know, and you go trudgingly over there and you help your friend, but the whole time the mind doesn't want to be there. You know, or you know this. Or is it only me that feels this way? You know? Yeah. You know, kind of where somebody asks you and you really don't want to, and you go and do it because you know you should. And the whole time you're there, you're wishing you're somewhere else, you know. And you say, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, I'll help you. When's this over? You know, and the mind's just as totally miserable being there. Don't create any positive karma at all. It makes the other person feel lousy. Yeah. And where all it takes is just a slight change in our attitude of saying, wow, this is an incredible opportunity to help another sentient being who wants to be happy just as much as I do. This is an incredible opportunity to create all this positive potential that's going to get me closer to enlightenment. It's an incredible opportunity to repay the kindness of a sentient being who's done all these things for me all these times since beginningless time. And so, you know, it's just a switch in the attitude, and then the mind is so happy to go and do it. And anyway, since we're going to go do it, you know, if we do it with a happy mind, it totally changes the atmosphere. Yeah. So it's just all these small situations in our life, just, you know, just change the attitude. Yeah, same thing about going to work. You know, instead of going to work, oh, God, I got to go to work, you know. You know, or the only thing getting you to work is the idea of the paycheck at the end of the month, you know, to really say, wow, this is an opportunity to create positive potential. This is an opportunity to offer service. This is an opportunity to give to these people that I'm dealing with. You know, even if they don't appreciate it, that's okay. There's been many times in my life when I haven't appreciated what other people have done for me. So even here, I'm working at this job and it seems like these people aren't appreciating me. That's okay, because I've been in the same situation many times, haven't appreciated others. But from my side, this is an incredible opportunity to really, you know, further my spiritual practice and benefit others. So, you know, change in the mind and then the whole feeling about it changes. It is the same energy, but it has a slightly different flavor. Okay, so when you turn the wrathfulness against the self-cherishing thought, it's not, you know, because you're right, kind of anger in general is a disturbing attitude because it's exaggerating the harm of something else. Okay, so when we're angry at another sentient being, we're exaggerating the harm. Okay, when we direct that same strong energy against the self centeredness, we're not exaggerating its harm.
But isn't the cause of the anger exaggerating harm? It disturbs.
Right. But and one of the reasons it disturbs is because it's exaggerating and it's not saying things realistically. And so it's out of control. I mean, it's disturbed because it's not saying things realistically and beneficially, and because it's out of control and resulting in harm. Okay, whereas this one, when you turn that energy against the self-centeredness, it's slightly changed in character because it's not exaggerating the harm, and it's not out of control.
But
if we understand things exactly clearly, we usually aren't angry. Yeah. When we understand things real clearly, then there's not the distortion. You might have still, you know, an impetus to act in the situation, but there isn't this out of control anger energy that wants to destroy. Okay? Because it's not uncontrolled. It's not the same anger. It's the anger energy transformed. Okay, so it's not like, you know, I'm angry at you and now I'm angry at the self-cherishing. You know, it's not that out of control, complete berserkiness. Yeah, it's just, you know, when we're angry, there's the distortion. You should see me when I'm angry. You shouldn't see me when I'm angry. When we're angry, okay, there's the distortion and there's the energy that's fueling it, okay? I mean, when we're angry, there's a lot of energy and then there's this whole distorted conception that is what makes anger so harmful. What we're doing when we turn that forcefulness against the self-grasping and the self-cherishing is we're using the force of that energy, but without the distortion.
You're talking about a way of transforming for the sake of...
It can be done either way. Okay, so sometimes after the anger's arisen, like you're starting to get angry at another person, and then you realize, hold on, this whole situation is coming about because of my negative karma, so I'm going to switch it to the selfish attitude. So you can do that. Or in the case, you know, when you do these kinds of deity practices with the wrathful deities, then, you know, you're tapping into the same strength of that energy, but you're really, you know, using it to be real clear in your own mind about the self-grasping and the self-cherishing being the energy, being the enemy. Okay, so it's done both ways.
Okay, let's just sit quietly now.